Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
But it's interesting because here in the text that we're looking at today, I think the disciples have a little bit of that feeling going on. The disciples, as Jesus kind of brings them, this little kid in front of them, the disciples actually are saying, listen, guys, Jesus has too much going on. And you don't understand it, but we have big, big plans. And ultimately, some of their plans are probably more like to maybe take on Rome itself, okay? And to actually maybe make Jesus a physical king that they get to be part of. And there, maybe we could start some kind of rebellion here. It seems like there's more of that kind of feeling and thinking as they're thinking about the kingdom of God. But it's precisely in this where the disciples say, hey, kids, Jesus doesn't have time. There's bigger things to come. It's precisely at that moment that Jesus actually, okay, what does he do? Jesus, now this is my kid, so don't be nervous. But Jesus grabs a little kid and puts the little kid right in the midst, puts the little kid right in the middle of all the disciples. He puts the kid right in the middle of all the disciples. And what does he say?
Amber, it's okay.
He puts it. I'm just trying to find something here. Here's a key, pumpkin.
Yeah.
Those are cleaner. Good point. That's awesome. He takes a little kid and he puts the little kid right in the middle of the disciples. Now that's a fascinating thing. That's really fascinating. I mean, he literally takes the kid. He says, no, bring the kids here. Bring the kids here. And he puts them right there. And he says, unless you become like this little kid, you have no place in my kingdom. Think about that. Jesus looks at the disciples. He looks at the disciples and he says, this is what being a disciple looks like. This is what it looks like. Now, there's lots about that we can talk about, right? There's lots about that we can talk about. But what does that mean? What does that look like to have the little child in their midst? And Jesus say, unless you become like a little child, you can have no part in my kingdom. That's incredible. Actually, this one of my favorite books from seminary, a book called Resident Aliens, they say this. They make a point in here. It says, few acts of Jesus are more radical and countercultural than his blessing of children. Now, see, we don't fully get that because we think of little kids as cute. First century Judaism, and that's not how they're looking at her. I mean, there's a sense in which they're cute, but ultimately they're looking at her as, hey, I can't wait for her to grow up so she can milk the cow. See what I'm saying? They're really more of a hindrance and more of a nuisance. They're really more of a nuisance and a hindrance to really, they're not helpful, especially at that age. They're more of a problem, okay? And kids aren't, we actually see this, there's an orphanage that we kind of watch a little bit because we're connected through Jackie's family and her home congregation down in Haiti, and just the way that they treat kids is kind of interesting because they're not cute. They're not like, aw. They're just kind of like, keep kids over here. And it's really kind of fascinating just kind of how even different cultures can kind of see that. But Jesus takes this kid who's not cute, who's not lovable, cuddly, and puts him in the midst of the disciples, and he says, here is what discipleship looks like. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for us today? I think it rails against two primary things, and that's what I want to teach on. The first is this. The first is we sometimes think of Christianity, or kind of the next big thing, as like our need is to become a professor Christian. That's kind of the image I got up here. Professor. Okay, that's kind of what we start to think about. We think when we get connected to Jesus, the next big thing is for us to become professor Christian. We start getting into, you know, the church language, the church kind of culture, and we start to learn the right things to say and to do, and we start to think that's what it means to be growing or something like that. We start to look at like Christianity. I think the disciples have a little bit of this. They're like, no, you don't understand, little kid. You don't get it. We got big things. We're thinking about stuff. We're strategizing, which I'm going to show you in just a second. That's exactly what some of the stuff they're doing. They're strategizing how they might start to move Jesus to build connections with different people so that their own idea of the kingdom might advance. They start to think about it as like professory, and we do this too. We start to think like it's all about thouest, lordest. You know, I've heard prayers like, oh, goddess of the heavenliest and the greatest, you're thouest the bestest, you know, or something. You ever hear that prayer? I've heard that prayer. And you start to almost feel like, okay, and especially I'm thinking of those of you who maybe aren't Christians in the room. Or maybe those of you who are kind of like just toying with it and just kind of trying to see it and trying to figure it out, like you start to think, that's what it means to be a Christian. It's like, as I grow, I'm going to grow into more of a weirdo. I mean, that's kind of what you start to think. Because you're like, I need to be smarter and smarter and smarter, and I need to know all these answers. I've been at Bible studies before where people just are saying stuff only because they know it, not because they like have lived it or experienced it. They're just, they know it. It's just kind of like this head knowledge thing. Now, don't get me wrong. We can grow in our faith. 2 Thessalonians is a great example of this. 2 Thessalonians and Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he says that. He says, man, you guys are growing in your faith. Yes, that's true. I'm not trying to diminish faith growth here. That's why we gather, to grow in our faith. But there is a simplicity to the gospel. There is a simplicity to the gospel. I think of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, no, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, this is the Apostle Paul talking here, an incredibly educated, very smart, okay, very professor-like kind of guy. He says this, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if you jump to the very end of this letter, chapter 15, verse 14, he ends with this. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. What is he doing here? He's grounding the simplicity of the gospel in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says, you want to know what it looks like to be a follower of me? Put your faith and your trust in what I've done for you. I've died for you. I've paid the price for your sin. I've taken every mistake you've made and taken it with me upon the cross. And not only that, but 3 days later, I rose again from the dead. I conquered death itself so that even those of you who believe in me, even as you die someday, death will hold on to you with slippery fingers and you will live. That's an incredible thing. That's an incredible thing, you guys. Death itself has lost its power on your life in Jesus Christ. There's a simplicity to the gospel. It's like, I came to you, not trying to convince you, and I'm thinking a big cigar. Yeah? I came to you, you know, not to talk. Hey, let's talk. Let's talk about Jesus, man. What do you know? No, I just came. I proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. There it is. There's the gospel. Do you believe it or not? Do you trust in that or not? Man, do you understand there's a simplicity to the gospel? Jesus brings a little child into their midst and says, okay, let's learn from this. What does a little kid do? What does it look like? for a you ever, just the simple faith of a child? Isn't that amazing? The simple faith of a child, the simple trust that a child has in a parent, in how it just, in how a kid just trusts us. Hey, we're going over here. Yep, okay, let's go. You know? It just this basic trust that's there underlying all of it. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm just thinking Jesus in his taking a child and bringing him here, there's a simplicity to it. Man, I am amazed by how often I go back and remind myself that God loves me. I'm amazed by that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff about the Bible that I either know or don't know. But it is amazing to me how often I'll find myself on my knees praying, Lord, thank you for loving me. And I want to remind myself of that. There's a simplicity to that. There's just a basic, like, I'm a little kid, like, God, I just love you. Thank you for loving me. I thank you for that. Little kids, they do that. Little kids just, they just trust. Jump out into the pool. You know, I got you. Maybe tell me next time you're going to jump, you know. Or a little infant. It almost feels like the younger they get, you know what I'm saying? It just gets simpler and simpler and simpler until you have this little infant that's just completely trusting in your arms. Isn't that amazing? It's truly amazing. I think Jesus is railing against this idea that you have to be like professory. You have to be all like, let's talk about Jesus. No, there's a simplicity to it. And especially today on our turning one, we're 1 year old, right? Or 1 year old. I don't even know the grammar on that. I was seriously trying to think about that. 1 year old? 1 year old? I don't know. Something. They both sound weird. We are turning one. That's better. We are turning one. I think he's railing against that. I think the second thing he's railing against, now don't come after me too hard on this one because I made up some words, but I think that he's railing against this doer-more attitude. I got a little picture here for you. There it is. Okay. This doer-more attitude. I love that. I send that all the time. I always, because that's what our house looks like for me. I'm kidding. I am kidding. I have never done any of those things ever. This doer more attitude. So you become a Christian, it's like either you got to go become a professor Christian, okay, and start to know a ton of stuff. Or the second thing is you start to think about it like this. Jesus meets me halfway. Jesus comes halfway, and now I got to kind of work up the rest to meet him the rest of the way. And I'm telling you, here's the proof in the pudding on this. I love this. What's the very next story after the story of Jesus bringing the little child into their midst? What's the very next story? If you got your Bibles, you can look. Luke chapter 18. I have it up here on the screen. Luke chapter 18. The very next story is the rich ruler. Now listen to what this guy says. And a ruler asked him. Now it's interesting that the children don't have access to Jesus, but the ruler gets in really quick. Of course Jesus has got time for you, buddy. Come on in here. A ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Now this is fascinating. Jesus is setting this guy up like crazy. And the ruler says this, and he said, yeah, all these I've kept from my youth. I'm doing pretty good. Have you been watching what I've been doing? I've been working my tail off. I haven't committed this sin. 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 I've been working my tail off for God. And he said, all these I've kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Now this is Jesus just working. I love Jesus. One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Now don't try to not think just money here, okay? It's not just money. It could be anything that's latching onto you. It's not just money. It could be anything that's latched onto you in such a way that you couldn't give it up to follow Jesus. There's a surrender in this. There's a basic trust, and there's a realization that Jesus has got to come the whole way. Jesus is the one who's going to end up having to do this. See, that's all Jesus is pointing to in this text, is all he's pointing to is just follow me. And you've got some things in your life you just need to surrender. You just got to let go of. And when I think about that and I think of a little kid, I think of how easy that would be for my kids. Just think about that. If Jesus were to come to one of my little kids, any one of my kids, and say, all right, I want you to sell all your stuff, all your toys, and I just want you to come follow me, that would be the easiest thing for Trax. That would be so easy for him. I know he would just do that. It's interesting because actually, it's actually interesting because I think it would get harder as people get older. Isn't that true? It gets harder and harder and harder. But for Trax, my two-year-old, I sometimes, even to this day, they'll come out and they'll have like $20 from their piggy bank and they'll be like, I'm giving this to Ariana, his sister. No, you're not, buddy. Just put that back. You don't know. Yeah, I'm going to give it to her. I just want to give it to her. He don't care. See, it's not about doing more. It's about just trusting in Jesus. It's about just following him. It's about following. It's about understanding what he has done in your life. There's a simple trust here, guys. I think of how many times I've gone to McDonald's with my kids. You ever gone to McDonald's? Have you ever in your life gone to McDonald's and had one of your kids say, hey, I got this. I'll take care of the bill. Have you ever had that? I've never had that. I've never walked into McDonald's and thought, my kids are like, yeah, Dad, I'll take care of the Big Mac for you. No problem. Pulls out his wallet and starts giving it to him. No. There is a basic assumption when we walk into McDonald's. Dad's paying. Right? That's assumed. That's just norm. Now, I get it. Some of you got older kids and that conversation's going to have to happen. Okay? Yeah. I see some pointing going on here. I get it. But with my kids, little kids, I'm like, I walk in, I'm paying for McDonald's. I'm paying. I'm going to take care of it. I don't ask if they're going to cover a little bit. I just cover the whole thing. Listen, that's what God, when he brings this little kid who's kind of annoying, really is not a big asset, okay, doesn't bring a whole lot to the table, he brings this little kid in, and he says, here's a picture of what a disciple looks like. You don't bring a whole lot to the table here, folks. You don't meet God halfway. The gospel is Jesus coming into this broken world, meeting you right in the middle of your brokenness, right in the middle of your sin, right in the middle of your relationships going kaputs, right in the middle of your family starting to break down, right in the middle of the dark place you are in. He meets you there. He comes into your life. And we're just kind of like kicking and pooping and peeing and sleeping. And that's kind of all he wants from us. Now, do we grow in our faith? Yeah, that's yes. But I think some of you need to go back to the basics of reminding yourself, I'm a child of God. He's my dad. I just trust him. I'm just going to follow him. I'm going to lay it all aside, and I'm just going to follow him wherever he might take me. There's a simplicity to this. See, we want to prove to God how great we are. That's what this ruler's doing here. We want to prove to God how great we are, but God wants to prove to us how great he is. We want to prove to God, oh, God, look how great I am. Look at, I've kept every one of them. God's like, no, you need to understand how great I am. You need to understand that I'm taking care of the bill. This morning, I don't know what you're struggling with, if it's the professor or if it's the doer more. I don't know where you're at, but But I think sometimes we're struggling with those things, right? And ultimately what Jesus does is he grabs, I think Ariana's or Ember's over there, but ultimately he grabs little Ember and he puts, literally he takes it and just puts her right in the midst of the disciples. And he says, no, 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 no. This is what a disciple looks like. It's not doing more. It's not getting smarter. It's about a basic trust in Jesus and what he has done for you. So like this morning, what's the next big thing for us as a church? Sure, God's got some stuff in plan. God's got some stuff planned and some cool stuff. Yeah, sure. But ultimately, I think what I want to drive us back to is reminding ourselves we're God's children. He's our dad. And we're just going to follow him. And we're going to thank him for all that he's done for us and how he meets us in our brokenness. It's kind of that simple. Little Ember teaching us today in a real, practical, tangible way. Listen, look at your kids and just watch how much they don't worry. Ember has no worries. You know how many of you, if I'd have brought you up here, you'd have been standing here and you'd been nervous about your clothes you're wearing. You'd been nervous about all sorts of stuff. And Ember just, she don't care. Dad's going to take care of me probably, right? There it is. I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us so much through just being a one-year-old. Lord, our church is not some big hopping 125-year-old church with tons of history under our belt and the cool building, and we don't have the cool maybe influencer in the community, and we're not the coolest looking or the coolest feeling. And then you bring just a little kid into our presence and you say, here's what being a follower of me looks like. Lord, this morning, we are sorry. We are sorry for the times that we have turned our faith into something that we have to do more than maybe you can love us. We're sorry for the times we've turned faith growth into just head knowledge growth let's kind of start talking like this when we talk about Jesus or something. What? God, we're sorry for that. We're sorry for where we've actually turned our faith into something it was never meant to be. God, ultimately, we just want to follow you. Continue to drive us back to that basic, simple faith that you've given to us. Lord, and those in the room that continue to still wonder about some of that, I pray that you just continue to work in them. Lord, what that might look like. Ultimately, Lord, we just come right now. We lay all of our sins at the foot of the cross. We're not trying to talk lofty wisdom stuff. We're just trying to talk the cross. We're trying to talk the resurrection. The fact that you live and reign with the Father even now, and you will return one day to make all things new. That gets us fired up, Lord. And we just hold on to that with a basic Christian childlike faith. We just hold on to you, Jesus. And we're never going to let it go. Lord, we love you. We trust in you. We're going to keep following you. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have in you, Jesus. Thank you for the forgiveness that we can receive even right now. You do forgive us. You do love us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.